Yeah, the righteous chooses his friends carefully. You don't want somebody who will pound you into the ground. Okay, now that we've gotten that out of the way. Remember, this series is primarily for our young people, okay? Keep that in mind. Proverbs 18:24, come to this passage of Scripture together tonight, and we've already read it. A man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Now, I've always known this verse, and as I looked at it, I thought, you know, and I've told it to children before, my own children and children at LCA, that, hey, if you want friends, then you've got to show yourself friendly. And as I began to study this passage of Scripture, I really ran across, you can go ahead and go to the next couple of slides to the first point, but and we're going to get our clicker worked out so that it can work. But first point, decisions. Because as I began to look at this, I realized that there is a huge variation in the translation of this verse. And the subpoints that fall under there, we'll go ahead and put them up on the screen, is when translations differ big time. Why translations differ, how to decide when the gap is wide, and how can I be confident about the rest. So as we look at this, I want to share with you what some of the other translations of this verse actually say. And in verse 24 of chapter 18, this is the New International Version. Here's what it says. A man of many companions may come to ruin. All right, that's a big difference than a man who would have friends must first show himself friendly. That was the NIV. The ESV says, a man of many companions may come to ruin. Again, much like the NIV. The New American Standard, chapter 18, verse 24, a man of too many friends comes to ruin. Seeing some consistency here. This is the Holman Christian Standard Bible. The Holman Christian Standard Bible. That's like the Southern Baptist Bible. The ESV is like the Presbyterian Bible. All right, so chapter 18, verse 24, a man with many friends may be harmed, but there's a friend who stays closer than a brother. So we're looking at that first part of it. And then we come to the NET. This is the New English Translation that I'll talk to you a little bit more about in a while. But here it says, a person who has many friends may be harmed by them, but there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. We've seen a consistency through all of these translations. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 translations that do not look anything like what we find in the King James or in the New King James Bible. Now, I want to talk to us a little bit about why and what to do. And when I'm doing this, I'm not talking to you as someone who is has a high degree of understanding when it comes to Bible translations. So you're going to get the dummy's view of this and how a dummy works through this. So we see a big difference here. Would you all agree with that? That there's a big difference in translation, why translations differ. Now, there's a couple of reasons why translations differ. When we look at this, some other passages in the Bible where we see a difference in translation, many times it's because those translations were taken from two different lines of manuscripts. So we'll just try. One is like the majority, and the other is the ancient or the oldest manuscripts. And the King James and New King James comes from the majority. Most of these translations come from the oldest. However, when we come to this passage today, we find that that really isn't the issue. What I want to share with you today is what the issue is with this particular verse. And something I'd like to commend to you is to have some sort of word study tool. What I have in my hand is called the Complete Word Study of the Old Testament. So what I do when I come to this and I start seeing these differences in translation, I start looking at some commentaries to see what they have to say. But I can come to this book, and this actually takes me to the word, the Hebrew word that is found in that verse. Now, as I look at 18:24, I see here that there is a word for friends, and then there's another number See, this is the English Bible, but it has a number above each of the words. And what I can do then is go to that number in the back of the Bible, and it tells me what Hebrew word is there. So let me turn there real quick. One of them is numbered. This is significant. You can kind of see this. One is the first word for friends is the number 7453. And the word that is found there is transliterated R-E-A. I'm sorry if y'all can't see that. I'll try to get another marker here. This one might do better. R-E-A. Now, the second word that is translated that where he must be friendly is actually the word, it's numbered 7489. And it is transliterated like this. R-A-A. You see how similar those two words are? What likely happened in the translation of the King James and the New King James, when they looked at this word, and because there are so many different forms of the Hebrew words, which I would not even dare to try to get into because I couldn't, they looked at this word, and rather than translating it perhaps the way it should have been, the way these other translations translate it, is that they translated it thinking it was the word for friendly. See, this is the same word that we've been looking at with friends in the passages that we've looked at in the Old Testament. The definition of this word is as follows, and I'll read it right out of the back of this book. 7489, this is the Key Word Study Bible by Zadiates. This verb means to spoil by breaking to pieces. It means to break, to make something useless or evil, to afflict, to dash in pieces, shatter, be broken, to destroy, to be shaken violently, to perish, to be evil, to be displeasing, to do evil. So you see the definition of that word falls under what? The word like ruin, right? You see why they translated it the way they did in these other translations? Is because that word is actually defined that way. Whereas the translators of the King James and New King James, it may be because of the form of the word, but they believed it was actually this word restated again in a different form. To be friendly. When I come to passages like this in the New King James, I don't like to deviate. I don't like to go over to one of these other translations and translate it that way. So what I want to do for you all tonight is kind of equip you a little bit. When you come across something like this, how do you handle it? It's always good to go to multiple translations and see what they say. It's good to go to commentaries, where the men there are scholars in the languages and they're able to give you the information that they've gained from their study. And it's good to be able to put your fingers on it yourself to see what it should actually say. And this morning is another example of that. Y'all remember that verse in Haggai chapter 2 where it said that all the nations, they shall come to the desire of all the nations? And in some translations, the desire is capitalized, meaning they believe it was Jesus Christ or God that it's talking about. Where in some of these other translations, it talks about bringing their treasure. Bringing their treasure. And I decided to go with the New King James translation because as I looked into this, the word that's found here means delight. They would come to their delight. And there's some reasons why I decided to stick with that particular translation of that verse. So that's something that we as a church and you as a student of God's Word, we need to equip ourselves so that we can study into these things. Now, the reason why it's not a big deal is because most of these issues that come up in the Bible don't ever deal with doctrine. It's nothing that would change a doctrine. It's nothing that would change any of the foundations of our faith. Most of these are things that are like tonight, whether you should be friendly in order to have friends, or whether having too many friends can cause you to come to ruin. Does that make sense tonight? Y'all kind of understand what I'm getting at? And the question is, how can I be confident about the rest? About the rest of the Bible? Because there are many people out there who will criticize the Bible, saying, well, there's differences in this place or that place, so how can I be comfortable or confident in any of it? Or why are there so many translations of the Bible? And all of these different issues that would come up. But here's the reason why, and this maybe this stack of books is kind of a good reason or a good illustration. As we look at this stack of books, and then you look at the manuscript evidence. In other words, if you take this line and this line, the vast majority of it is the same. But there are occasionally discrepancies here and there. There are perhaps translation errors, like in this particular instance, here and there. But what we know is that God, because of the manuscript evidence, and there are 5,000 pieces of manuscript evidence, much more than any other piece of literature back in that time or in history, that supports itself. So when we come to our Bibles, we can come to our Bibles with confidence, because while there may be issues here and there like we see tonight, the overall evidence is substantial when it comes to knowing that your Bible and having your Bible, having confidence in your Bible and what is translated there. Ultimately, it boils down to this, that God has and is preserving His Word. He said that the grass withers and the flower fades, but the Word of the Lord endures forever. And God has and is continuing to preserve His Word. Now, so we go to point number two. I hope that makes a little bit of sense. Really, I'm not able to wrap my mind around this issue and all the different translations in a great way. This is the way someone like me works through a problem like this that I see in the Bible. So point number two, so what does 1824 say? Well, we see what it says in the New King James Version, and we find what it also means in the other translations. The point that we would gain from this, if we were to go with the translation here, is that if a man is having too many friends or has a bunch of friends, he will come to ruin because he is ultimately trying to satisfy all of those friends. Or he is compromising something about who God is or who he should be as a man or woman of God in order to have these friends. And because he has these influences in his life, the Bible tells us that he will ultimately come to ruin. Now, that's something to think about. The other issue is, if we look at it meaning he who has friends must first show himself friendly, then what is that teaching us? That we must look outside of ourselves and look to others. We must, if we want to have people that we are close to, then we must, in a sense, let down our guard and be open to them. We must not be selfish, but we must be willing to give, we must be willing to invest, we must be willing to put our interest aside and look in the interest of others. Kind of like the guy with Godzilla, right? He could have said, no, I don't want anything to do with Godzilla, but no, he built a translator for him and everything so that he could actually communicate with him. So he showed himself friendly to him. We go to point number three. What does 1824 mean? Let's go ahead and get those up on screen, guys. So what does 1824 say? And then number three, so what does 1824 mean? If we look at this second point of view, number one, it's pessimistic. That means you need to be careful about having too many friends. Number two is this, it is optimistic. And we look at the second part of the verse, which says this, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. You know, that's maybe the key point that we need to walk away with from this passage. Because there is discrepancy in the translation of this, it's not to discredit it, but we know that the last part of this verse, there are no discrepancies in it, and that all these translations match. So the point that we need to really grab a hold to is this second part of verse 24. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Now again, I come back to this particular book, and I look at verse 24, and I see there where it says, there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. There's a different number above this word, so I'm going to look it up. It's number 157. So I know that there's a different Hebrew word found there. In 157, it is the word ahav. It's spelled like this. The number was 157, and it was ahav. All right. What does this mean? It means to love. It means desire, delight, like, to be fond of, covet, to be beloved, to be a passionate lover. It implies an ardent and vehement inclination of the mind and a tenderness of affection at the same time. What we look at when we see this word, and this is something that I learned this week, the word ahav really carries with it the idea of love. If we were to look at these, you could see that ahav is kind of like agape in the New Testament. Whereas this word is more like the phileo love of the New Testament. The one being kind of a friendship, the other being a great deep love. Look in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. And it's not a sexual love, it's not a romantic love all the time, because we don't see it in that context. But 1 Kings chapter 5, verse 1, I believe it is, says this. Now Hiram, king of Tyre, sent his servants to Solomon, because he heard that he had anointed him king in place of his father. For Hiram had always what? Loved David. In other words, he had this love, ahav love for him. However, it is also found in Genesis chapter 29, verse 30, where it talked about Jacob loving Rachel more than Leah. So it is used in that context in a deeper love. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, take a look at this passage with me. Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. This is kind of talking about the covenant love of God and our love for God. In Deuteronomy 6, 5, it says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. You shall ahav the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength." We see it further in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 37, where God speaks here and he says, and because, where it speaks about God, Moses speaking to the children of Israel, "And because he loved your fathers, therefore he chose their descendants after them, and he brought you to Egypt with his presence, with his mighty power." In 4:37, we see God's ahav for the fathers of the children of Israel. And we see it also as being that Abraham, as we learn in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 7, he was loved of God. He was ahaved, if you will, by God. So we go back to Proverbs chapter 8, verse 24. We look at this passage together, and having this little bit of education in these words that are found here, which I hope is helpful for us to be better students of the Word, the Bible simply says, a man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend, there is a one who loves us, one who loves you, who sticks closer than a brother. Which brings us to the last point. So what is a friend in this context? And let's look at those three things that are found there. From this, we can draw this out, that a friend may be more loyal than a brother. A friend may be more helpful than a brother. That means someone who's actually in a relative to you. And then lastly, a friend may be more loving than a brother. And really, folks, when we think about our relationships that we have with others, that's the kind of people that we want around us. However, that brings us to our point of application. And when I say people around us, I want to be clear about something. This does not mean, choosing your friends carefully does not mean that we are not around sinners, that we are not around people who do not believe the gospel, that we're not around people who even deny that there is a God. It doesn't mean that we don't have interaction with those people. But those should not be the primary people in our lives that are influencing us and that are building us up. When we have those relationships, those ought to be gospel relationships for one. That doesn't mean they can only be gospel relationships, but they ought to be gospel relationships. When we as believers are interacting with non-believers, we have a friend across the street who she may be an atheist, her husband probably is, she leans that way, but we are friends with her. She is somebody that we can count on, but some of the things that they do and say in their lives, we are not so intimately involved with them that we allow what they say, do, and think to impact how we live out our lives. You see what I'm saying? But there are friends like you, many of you, that we are friends with, that what you say, do, and think makes a difference in how I live out my life. For the relationship with our neighbor from across the street, one of the things that we want to do, Sherry even invited her to church today or tonight with us, but is we want to continually be trying to be a gospel influence before them. However, she goes with my wife shopping sometimes. She helps with the kids. She does a lot of different things. But their lifestyle does not change our lifestyle, influence us in that great of a way. Now, the points of application. The first one is this. The righteous still chooses his friends carefully. Let's say you go with the translation that says, he who would have friends must first show himself friendly. That doesn't mean you just go out and try to be a friend to everybody and get everybody to be your bosom buddy. We still have to choose our friends carefully because we remember, let's take the other side of the translation, what if a man of many companions will fall into ruin? So we need to be careful about that, realizing that we don't want all men just to speak well of us. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, beware lest all men speak well of you. Number two in our points of application is that be a friend and seek friends with stick-to-itiveness. That's a great word. Stick-to-itiveness. People who will stick by you. We ought to be friends of people, of one another. In this church, we should have friendships among ourselves where there is stick-to-itiveness through thick and through thin, that we are there for one another. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And you know what? There is that already here at New Life Baptist Church. That kind of stick-to-itiveness is a characteristic of many of our relationships, and that is a blessing, and that is something we want to grow and to nurture and we want it to flourish. Because that's what we see there at the end of verse 24. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And then the last point of application is this. There is one who has many friends and sticks closer than a brother to each. There is one who has many friends and sticks closer than a brother to each. Charles Spurgeon said something along the lines, I saw it posted on Facebook. I don't know exactly what the quote is, and I've shared it with you before, but it goes something like this, when Jesus made a friend of me, he did himself no favors. And Jesus Christ, through the gospel, has done that. No greater love has any man than this, than that he would lay down his life for his, who? Friends. But that's exactly what Jesus has done. And Jesus has said, the Bible says about him in Hebrews, that he will never leave us nor forsake us. If you claim Jesus Christ as your Savior tonight, I want you to know that in Jesus you have a friend, a one who loves you, who sticks closer than a brother. And we, when we see Christ in our through faith and we believe in Him and we trust Him on a daily basis, we know that He is not against us. He is for us and He loves us. And He desires a relationship with us. And He has made that happen through the gospel. I want you to look over to John chapter 15 very quickly and we'll close. John 15. Verse 14. And we may come back and visit this passage again before this series ends, which we're probably going to conclude this series at the end of September. John 15, we'll start at verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. And think about that there for a second. Well, I would have to look it up, but I imagine the word that's found there is agape. In the Old Testament, it would be ahav. No greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. Now look at verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. You did not choose me, but I chose you. Jesus Christ is a friend of sinners. If you're here tonight and you realize that you are a sinner and Jesus has not been your friend and you are not His, tonight you can repent of your sins by God's grace and by God's electing love in your life through the gospel. And you tonight can have the greatest friend of all friends, and that's the man, the person, the God-man, Jesus Christ. And you can have that friendship through faith in the Son of God, who loved us and gave Himself for us. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your Word tonight. I thank You that we could spend this time together. We pray that it would be equipping for us as saints. And Lord, we're humbled by the fact that You have loved us. Because we were not pursuing You. We did not desire You. We did not seek You. Lord, You are our greatest need. We have shaken our fist in Your face. And there are some here tonight who continue to shake their fist in Your face and reject the gospel. Lord, it's our prayer, God, that all of us would see what a friend of sinners Jesus is, and that we would cling to Him in love, reciprocating to Him the love which He has had for us. Lord, we ask You to give us grace that we might do that. For we are hopeless and undone apart from Your effectual grace in our lives. So, Father, we just pray for that tonight. And I pray, Lord, that we would know Jesus as the one who is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. While we desire people like that in our lives, people will come and go, but there is one who will not forsake us, and that is Your Son. We thank You for Christ, and we pray that You'd use Your Word to equip Your people tonight, to empower Your people, Lord, to strengthen Your people, and Lord, to protect Your people as we go out into the world and we have relationships with other individuals. Lord, let us use those relationships with the lost as gospel relationships to make a difference in their life. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.